I'd like to talk tonight about a topic that is quite large, extends over many, many different areas, including a little bit Masechta Shabbos and elsewhere. And we're not going to try to cover everything, but just to get somewhat of an overview of some of the issues and to try to put it in a structure in which we can relate to some of what's discussed in the Sfarim concerning this topic. The topic is with Me'iver Lo Yisitein Mechshol. And that pasuk that we find in Parshas Kedoshim, so the tradition has it that there are at least three different ways of relating to what this pasuk means. On the one hand, so the pasuk seems to be saying literally that there's a prohibition in the Torah to place a rock in front of a person who's blind. The person who can't see is walking. You can put a rock in front of him, he's going to trip. So that's what the words seem to convey. And that's the type of thing that the Gemara might have had a reaction to, as it does elsewhere. V'chibra, she asked, are we dealing with evil people here? Is that the kind of thing that the Torah needs to tell us about? The kind of person the Torah is dealing with? The people who do things like that, it's not really your normal kind of thing to do. It seems to be an excessively cruel type of behavior. And Chazal tell us that there are actually two other interpretations that we find for this pasuk. And in fact, in the Chas Chinuch and Reish Lamed Beis even quotes an opinion that the first version that I just discussed of actually putting a physical block in front of a physical blind person is not even one of the meanings of the pasuk. It's only the other two. That, of course, raises issues of Ein Mikriyos Midei Pshuto. And Mr. Nechasinich himself is aware of, and he has an explanation for that. He says that it must be that the pshat in the pasuk is not that. But I think the mainstream is that, yes, one would violate with Me'iver Lo Yisitein Mechshol if one would put a rock in front of a blind person. But there are other interpretations as well. And the first point I'd like to address, which really creates a context for some of the other points, is the question of how do we relate to these different interpretations as far as the pasuk is concerned. Yeah, why not? Okay, so the other two versions that we have of this iser are, first of all, bad advice. And if I say to somebody that he should buy this house, and it's not really a good house for him, and I know it's not a good house for him, and I'm telling him to do it because I'm friends with a real estate agent and I want them to get a good commission, but the person who I'm advising is not really in their best interest at all. So that's a violation of Me'iver Lo Yisitein Mechshol. So to take advantage, so to speak, of this person's blindness, metaphorically, the person is not in possession of all the information that would make them be able to make an educated decision, and you take advantage of that and lead them down the path in which they will figuratively trip, so that is also prohibited under this pasuk. And further, and this is perhaps the most famous application, and this is the application really that we're going to be focusing on, and focusing on the question of how does this relate to the pasuk, is the topic
issue of the actual somebody to continue what we started to talk about last week, connect somewhere further we started last week in honor of the first round of the Rambam cycle,
gives us these examples of what if I were to go to a Nazir and offer a Nazir.
We had discussed this week, if I remember correctly, or I know the fact that the basic gather of Shemaica only seems to be a major machlok
Korin,
so it's only been spelled out when through the read the week,
not the world,
Machlok
the Shemar says that would cause an issue of the word, as debatable as only Gon coming from him. So I go to Leo, if I fact that there is a reason why this basically is Korin, impetus to initially examine the prophets,
now, before we go further, says that the person is Matthew Benavi,
comment is similar to political one that's made by the issue of the last, so it's in a different context.
Of course, the context of time, all time, so it's slightly time and all time, and don't, so heading toward more.
But so the comment is
bad advice is that the Mishnah started from the world here basically because there is a difference between Kriya Shema and Seb Shawad and Shemekah on the
Brachah. Well, I mean, what I would have thought maybe if I only
because Shemekah on the Brachah is
that while Brachah could be performed as Shemekah on it, Kriya Shema cannot.
Other than Dibor alone, the Brachah uses
singular language that is as if I'm saying while others are listening,
and therefore it works for speech
before we get into the plural because everyone is saying
that
we have
some of the ground rules.
And so similar to the Islamic
detail of Kalam,
so therefore that cannot be performed in the Gilish.
Says that the language that Megillah and the
Gilish distinguishes that if that understanding is correct, it makes a lot of things very difficult.
And the Gilish
read
one side of
that language
is
going to
convey
the fact that Megillah
is in front of us and
the Gilish or one person is reading
other
stuff
will
not be sitting there with
the person
reading
the Gilish.
And while everyone else is listening,
you need me in order to do the Avera. You can't do it.
Now this assumption
that the
speech alone
can make.
So that's
how exactly we can define
the Kazanish.
It's one that's a little bit questionable. And his pasuk that identifies Yoshio
as having read
the sages, just like you're saying the words. So, okay, so
and
this person
is asks, why is up there that the king who read the sefer was not
the fact that the sefer was
not good enough.
Read
to him
from the text?
Why
does
it say that he read it?
To read from the text.
The Gemara says that
we
can the shomeika on
it.
See here, if you're listening, you're paying attention, and somebody else is speaking in front of you. So it's as if you are speaking as well. But even that Gemara leaves open two ways to interpret the concept, as we'll see in a second. And even just translating the word Shemei Ka'one, it would seem that translation, those words, lend themselves equally to two different interpretations.
But within the issue, so that's...
So the whole Brouhaha really seems to start with the Beis Halevi.
The
Beis Halevi quoted a comment
even though
that
this issue
was made in response to a Mishnah,
later generation, but it seems to be
towards the end.
Shown him as well.
The second piece,
Megillah
Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph,
where it seems that
which
this
is either the third paragraph or the fourth
going on.
Megillah,
depending
on perhaps most
common
from the discussions
of my
book,
talking Rashi and
Tosfos. But in the Bavli, the Mishnah printed on Chav Dalet Amud Aleph,
and Rashi appears also in Sukkah.
So the Mishnah saying, Hamakti Benavi Hu Paris Al Shah. Who overlooked the Hakeva, but who knows the Eskapa? So this person who did the Haftorah, so he gets certain Zechuyas, he gets certain Kibudim, and among these Kibudim is he gets to be no say Eskapa if he gets to Duchin. Now apparently we're assuming he's a Kohen, because otherwise
and they start
to Duchin. But that's not enough of an explanation
to Kiddusha,
because
in our normal
practice
is able to deal with
that all the Kohanim get up and Duchin. So if all the Kohanim are Duchin, so what's the Kiddush is saying?
This one Duchin is not a
so Rashi says we have a great Eitzah.
Let him be quiet
select
and listen to
Kiddusha,
listen to people answering.
How you read the Mishnah is a question.
That mechanism
of
the
Yotzei
that was suggested based on
Levi
quotes
from a Chacham
and so still the
Yotzei
answering
Kiddusha, who said this explanation.
Tradition has it that he's referring to
that
big
Shlomo.
How is he able to do that?
The
whole problem is that Shemaya is Kohen, so it's
addressing how you reconcile the Yerushalmi
trying not to
talk,
and by doing the Shemaya Kohen trick, he'll be talking.
You can Shemaya Kohen for Kriyashma.
It's like a horrible idea.
You also apply that method
so
here,
like
playing with
focus,
Rashi, and
Tosfos.
That is really is very that why is Mishnah
really
implying that
one
person,
one
individual,
and
had
according
the
Rashi
kibud
is that really
Kohen?
A Kohenish type.
Because apparently the practice was
that
Birkas Kohenim, in the context of this Mishnah, Birkas Kohenim was recited through Shemei Kohenim. One Kohen got up there and he duchened on behalf of everybody else,
and
everybody
who heard
Birkas Kohenim. Through him, that's
not
how they were Yosef.
He's not actually talking.
But he is Yosef.
Beis Halevi disagreed with this.
While
Beis Halevi,
you have to know
and look
that
Shemaya Kohen is like you were actually
or,
in his halakhic writings.
And therefore,
this is now where
you have to worry that you're going to violate
Shemaya Kohen.
You can violate
Hefzik. In the end,
this
way the Torah doesn't go so far.
By now, by this point in the Kumbhish, we've already passed all of the Beis Halevi of the Vayakil already. I think there is no more Beis Halevi al Torah.
So
each year
we
ask
both questions.
Around
you can ask
that
around
there.
We know that
so after
Rashi,
a few paragraphs,
only, according to Tosfos, it only
so
works.
So one of the paragraphs that
not necessarily.
In both cases, you have to break the issue down.
Other points. So there's
to,
a paragraph that Beis Halevi says that he heard that
Hafa
Mecha,
the
issue.
Some anonymous Hafa
Mecha
said
literally like you're speaking.
That the pshat on this Mishnah is,
or is it
that
I join in
only
with
being
when
used
for
Birkas
Kohanim?
Can't be.
Only mean that
it's
the halacha
tells me listening is like speaking.
Now,
the
halacha
tells
me
that
controversy.
The Mishnah
because the exact meaning of the
Beis
Halevi's comment
it could be that I'm
listening
to somebody else.
So that comment
could be
part
of the
debate.
But what exactly he's saying
is itself part of the debate.
So whether or not it'll line up
way
perfectly after that,
explain the Beis Halevi's position.
And then I'll mention that there are many who understood the Beis
Halevi's. There's a third opinion
on
this.
Parenthetically, we'll just mention also as a point of historical interest, you know that Beis Halevi was the Rosh Yeshiva Lajin, so the other Rosh Yeshiva Lajin at the time was the Netziv. The Netziv also in his Tshuvas discusses this question, and he has it for other reasons other than getting into this whole discussion. He also seems to assume that Shemei Ka'onah does not work
the Birkas
Kohanim that way.
But what's the Beis Halevi's reason?
And therefore,
he's
light speaking.
Seemed to have a big impact on much discourse after this.
The Beis Halevi says, again, the way it's interpreted more commonly,
that
but
maybe the halacha views
apparently
that
what does Shemei Ka'onah do? So Shemei Ka'one means that when I hear somebody speaking,
it's
gotta
be a little more
complicated, it's as if I'm speaking.
Not just whatever you think of.
And again, this is an interpretation that works
for the words.
Shemei Ka'one. That when I hear it, it's like I'm speaking. Shemei Ka'one. You can wonder, why is it that he uses the word one and not so
there's a third
view
on this, that Shibon HaLeket,
which
is just
a response, is an interesting dramatic question why that word is chosen.
Essay.
But assuming only means to speak,
discuss the position,
so that's what the
phrase
would mean, that if you hear the word,
that
you're speaking.
To be okay,
so that's all very well and good. That's all going to be terrific.
Because there is
the mitzvah that I'm doing is a mitzvah that is purely speech-oriented. So fine,
Roy,
so when I hear it, it's as if I'm speaking.
But
when it comes to Birkas Kohanim, that's not enough. When it comes to Birkas Kohanim, there's an additional requirement.
Way
it has to be done because
you can do it in a better way. You can do it in a way that
you're
supposed to do it.
And
so
if there's an additional
requirement,
so that's not going
to
be able to
be
fulfilled through Shemei Ka'one. That's going
to
require that that an extra then
you're not yotze
be fulfilled. Which we do after we're so that extra step, if there's an extra step aside speech, that can't be done through Shemei Ka'one. That's going
to
need you to actively do it.
Not a half
so,
Shemei Ka'one is great if it's just
words. If it's anything other than words, you're going to have a problem.
The context of the phrase.
So
also,
many later svarim took this
is that,
as a given, and this
has to be mixed
out there, that Shemei Ka'one only works to create a situation
and
where
you are
says that
if you're not,
but
if you don't do the
bila, more required of you
than
just
speaking, then it's still good. It's still yours.
But if you have it packed in so tight, that it's
this raises many issues.
Mix it up,
and
so then it's
no good.
Partially, why many
Afroim
disagree with this? Perhaps most prominently,
possible
the Chazanish.
Then if you don't do it, it's not the end of the world.
The Chazanish
impossible for you to do it.
The other,
then that
side of
the problem.
Debate, and his explanation works better to explain at least two common scenarios that we have.
This principle,
it would seem that if
basically the notion is that if you're able to,
so there are at least two very commonly performed mitzvahs that are going to become much more away.
So then,
first of all, what about Kiddush?
Then that's
well,
okay.
Many of us
it's
not possible at all. That's
Kiddush
good.
Through Shemei
Ka'one. Well, like it says,
but
we know that Kiddush has to be done over a full cup of wine.
So
very often, especially in larger crowds,
to speak,
even in small crowds, even if it's a family, but
so therefore,
if it's a larger crowd,
you can't
so the situation is usually not the case that everyone who's listening has wine in front of them, and even if they do have wine, very often it's not wine that can
be
able to get, but maybe it's a small
side therefore, Shemei Ka'one is
not even not the grape juice or something, but usually it's not the case that everyone who's listening to Kiddush is holding a full cup of wine.
Person is not able to speak.
And if Shemei Ka'one only works for speech, it doesn't work for any other detail, that's going to be a big problem. Shemei Ka'one
an avenue.
And incidentally, we issued the
event
last week,
reciting
the words of Kiddush without wine. Now, of course, you could get into
a whole
discussion, which is not good tonight, of whether wine at Kiddush is an obligation
that has Torah and
that Kiddush is an obligation
that
has
Torah.
Wine
can
be
more dashes
in the Tenth Parah with Shach and Kachehu
al Hayayin,
but there is much discussion in the Shonen,
there's a Rashi, a fake Rashi,
is a possibility.
And of course,
in
we say not able,
and
Gimel
the difference
between
Shagdai's
case,
the Shigol
HaLekas
over there,
Shagdai's
case,
the case
where
it's
Bar,
the
Rambam, the whole discussion about whether or not
the case where it's Halakha,
the obligation of wine is
possible.
But in any case, there is an obligation of wine. Certainly assume Halakha L'maisa, you have to have wine, whether it's in a Torah, Midrash Rabbanan, to make Kiddush. And how is anyone going to fulfill Kiddush if they're just listening and they're just saying the words, but they're not holding
the
cup?
So the Shagdai, one of the reasons
it's one very common problem
that's
going
to
come up.
It's
another very common
the Holy
Sod of
at least once a year common problem is
that means
the Megillah
is
have
coming
up,
right?
Which
so
is
the vast majority of people
so you don't have to
do not read the Megillah themselves. They listen to someone else.
When it comes to Shemei
Ka'one, that's not the case.
So again,
it's better to do it by itself, but for the Eved, the
Megillah has
got to
be
done with a Kashrut
L'Chachila
and the Eved. You could do it
very few
somebody
people,
else.
Occasionally some
people
have
it, but the vast majority of people are not sitting in the audience with Kashrut
L'Chachila. There are two ways to perform.
So how are they
fulfilling
Kriyas
Megillah? Good enough.
According
to parenthetically, the same
Tosfos
that we're talking about,
the
same
Tosfos
doesn't
seem
take
to be that,
because this same Tosfos says,
we say it's only means Shemei
is
the Chachilah,
then
that means the average person is sitting there in the audience when the Megillah is being read, so it's as if he's reciting
the entire
Megillah.
Shemei Ka'one does seem to be
if he's doing it by heart.
And
that, if anyone did that, that's not a way to fulfill Megillah. You have to have a Kashrut Megillah. These are two very big questions on our practices that if the Beis Halevi is correct, that opinion, are going to seem to be difficult.
So Chazanish, one should,
in this context, and for reasons of Svara, the Chazanish says, that's not what Shemek only means.
Talking about in general, speech.
Rather, what Shemek only means is that you kind of hitch a ride together with whoever it is who's making the bracha or doing the gila, whatever it is they're doing, you join in with them. So if they're doing everything right, if they're doing, if they're making kiddush online, if they're reading the gila with the text, so then by your joining in with them, it's as if you're reading it with the text.
Quickly,
as if you're reciting kiddush over a couple
of points.
And as we indicated, that too is just as matching with the words is the other interpretation. Because one could translate the phrase Shemeh Ka'onim as someone who loses is like someone who talks. Or you could say it's much more specific to circumstances. You could say that the Shemeh is Ka'onim. You could say the person who is listening is just as the first Shemeh Ka'onim.
Doesn't really require
whatever is going on. Amen is a different technique. So whatever is going on is applied
with whatever was said before.
As applies to Rambam expressing that, speaker has whatever details going on. The listener has these details going on as well. Listen to somebody else
just as much
a feasible interpretation of the phrase. And that's the position put forward by the Chayamein.
And others.
Then
and
it's
we'll
a,
get
if you are detail next bar. Week, it was a major discussion among the Rambam Chronos
expressing
which position to take and how
that
you don't say a mitzvah. In conversation with the Shech has expressed that
like
he thinks Chazanish
that by listening to Yotze,
on Haggah, but if you actually say Amen, so then the word
giving out
the word Amen
to every person in the household
under
the
assumption.
And then it's actually like you're saying,
in other words, it wasn't like you're actually
speaking
it.
Even though Baba
but you're going to make Yotze,
because that's
individual people.
And when you say Amen,
but if it's
then you're
Yotze. Two chalas in front of them.
So this issue comes up in a couple other places,
where you
in
find
itself,
different
union.
Besides that, he thought that it was
Pashut,
that the
correct interpretation.
That the 10 sons of Haman, if you listen to them, so you should
again,
say
we should point out, though, that not everyone understands
the
Beis Halevi to be saying exactly what we just quoted in the
saying.
And among them are the relatives of the Beis Halevi. Many members of the
Beis
Halevi family in the various branches
of
the various svarim that were printed from Talmidim,
you are
the Rav,
no longer in
the
Rav,
you ate.
Various members of the Talmidim family had a different take on what the Beis Halevi was saying,
he's still in the right place.
And one that would
so
have a much more limited application,
the place
snapshot
where
the Beis Halevi was saying, that any time you're going to have some other detail there that you're not going to be able to deal with Shemeh Ka'onim, and Kiddush is going to be a problem, and the Gilgal is going to be a problem, etc., etc. Not what he meant at all.
Also,
what he meant was, by
other questions,
what if your
hands
are clean, to indicate that when it comes to Birkas Ka'onim, there's a requirement that the Birkas Ka'onim involves that the Kohen actually connects together with the Yisraelim. That the bracha that they make is actually heard by the congregation. So since it involves this interaction between the two people, so
I would actually
say, okay, Shemeh Ka'onim is great,
the other direction.
But it's no better than whisper.
And you think that
and if the Kohen get up there and they whisper, so that's not good enough because they're not actually making a connection with the people.
So too,
Shemeh Ka'onim could be like,
right.
The guy who, like the original guy who's speaking, but at the end of the day, these Kohanim are not connected to all the people.
Really that,
so, that still leaves room to disagree. You could still say, well, I think in a Hanani that Shemeh Ka'onim is powerful enough to even cope with that.
That okay,
but nonetheless, this interpretation of the Beis Halevi, which again is favored by those who were quoted, those who
were condition in
this interpretation of the Beis Halevi would kind of minimize this whole fight and not put everything into this framework of either it's
okay,
or no, it's not about that, it's about joining in with what's going on, like
we have here
shot.
Different possibilities.
And this other version
and
of the Beis Halevi, so there are other
svarim
that say, well, for example, let's
say three versions.
Pesach Frank, on the
one
hand,
so
he
says
could
say that your Shemeh
Ka'onim
is like you're talking.
So there is a necessity
might
for
the,
be a type of
the Halakha
to say something.
That's
so
another
phrase
you find in the
Gemara. So too, Shemeh Ka'onim
is
not
going to
work there because it's not just a mitzvah of Amira that communicated one person to another. That requires actual physical talking.
Therefore, maybe Shemeh Ka'onim is
kind of
Shari Shmiah.
along those lines, and some are showing some color like that. But as the Chronin points out, because the lover of among them, why
this svara also to mikra bikurim.
It's hard to say that Shemekha only is based on here because Yibor, first of all, comes here to Yibor,
with bikurim, so there's certain point in the parasha Shemekha
say. So again, that's about saying this parasha to the Kohen, and therefore that communication can't be done through Shemekha, and that's got to be actually spoken.
So it's a little bit difficult to say that they're related.
Okay, so that's all coming out in the additional interpretation of the Basil Levi. But if we take the Basil Levi at in the way it was interpreted by these many other questions. So then we have a full-blown machlokes.
Now, while it's truly not everyone agrees to hear
and there are many ramifications, many points of this, so that is the Shem. We'll continue that next week. Just to quickly recap what we spoke about. We mentioned that the first mission in Bracha starts off with the question raised, and the Gemara says that the reason is because Shemekon is not worked by Kriyas Shema, and we do it on his own. And then we mentioned that that question is Shemekha only by Kriya Shema.
No, it makes a difference. Post want to know if a woman
those who agreed with the Dumbledore and said that Shemekha is not good for Kriya Shema,
a woman
those who said that it only works if it's a minion, but if it's less than a minion, it doesn't work. And then there was also those who said that it totally does work, which means that
Shemekha is not good for Kriya Shema. So why doesn't the so?
And then we got a little bit of introduction to the topic of Shemekha on as a whole, and we mentioned that there was a major machlokes how to interpret both the words, and the benching when he's trying to put the ties to a positive about Yoshio, and the Beit Halevi says that the interpretation
should allow him to use it even if the woman is not high in use of Berkus Kohanim.
A number of approaches in the following, some suggest that Hirakus Kohanim only works when that's the mechanism he's trying to use, but if you're trying to use another mechanism, you just speak, not through Shemekha. We just mentioned though that that seems to again suggest really a distinction between these two methods,
the words,
which would rather to force us calling him, there has to be a connection made between people.
As an ish type
that connection can't be done.
So then there are still, let's say, two ways to say it.
Mentioned the that's where it would apply to other
one way to say it. Some are shown to communicate five ways.
At least say it's a type of
and that
you are using somebody else to fill in the two for you.
The same way we have this principle of shlichus.
Now there are a couple of reasons why it's not going to really match up perfectly with shlichus. First of all, normally shlichus doesn't work for mitzvah shebegufo, and this would seem to be quite the mitzvah shebegufo. So in a chanami, it might be an extra chiddush that works along the lines of shlichus. Another difference is the Kaddish Glover Rav points out in the Siach HaSada that normally if I do a mitzvah through shlichus, so I don't have to be there at all. So let him do the mitzvah in a different state, and I'm yotzei that way. So why do we require that I have to listen? Why don't I say, okay, you should bench for me, b'shlichus, and I'm leaving now. You stay here and bench, and I'm not even going to listen. So apparently he suggests that really there's two elements here, that every mitzvah really requires you, every mitzvah speech really requires you to say it and to hear it, to say hear and hear what you're saying. So the hearing you still have to do yourself. That's not possible to do through shlichus. But the saying part, that you can have somebody else do through shlichus, and that works. And the Kaddish Glover Rav, from that point on, basically does take the shlichus comparison to be pretty literal, and therefore uses that principle to explain a number of details of Shemekha Onah. Perhaps first and foremost, the fact that the person has to be a bar chiyuva, the person has to be somebody who's chayiv just as much. So as Rabbi Akiva Eger's question pointed out, that if it was purely a hira kedibur kind of thing, it's hard to understand why it should matter, how chayiv the person who's being lotsi is. But if you want to say it's a shlichus type notion, and you're joining in with this person's kiyum, so then it makes sense. The person has to be at least as chayiv as you need to be in order to fulfill your mitzvah. That's one detail that might be explained using that model. And he throws in a few others. For example, the position in Rishonim that you can't use Shemekha Onah for a chatzi bracha. It's either all or nothing. So the Ran, that's quoted in the Ramban in Gittin, says that it ain't shlichus l'chatzi davar. You can't have half a shlichus. So too, you can't have half a Shemekha Onah. Then he also comments that this statement of Tosfos that we mentioned earlier, that you can't do, that Shemekha Onah is a kind of a b'di'evet, and l'chachil you should do it yourself.
He says that's also can be explained through shlichus. We say mitzvah b'al yosim b'shlucho. So too, mitzvah is better for you to do through speech rather than through shemei ha'koneh. If shemei ha'koneh is like shlichus, and then that would explain that pretty well also. But there is a third way of formulating it, that it's not really shlichus mamish. It doesn't really have to line up exactly like that, but it's a type of hitzdarfus. It's a type of partnership. You're joining in on what this person is doing. It's just, as some achronim say, ke'ein shlichus, but really it's this notion of you are stepping in together with somebody else's mitzvah, which Chasam Sofer has a tshuva about, which is not mamish shlichus, but rather it's something along these lines. And that explains also why we have this notion that you have to understand. You have to, and perhaps greater responsibility to understand the bracha when you're doing it through Shemei HaKohanim than when you're doing it on your own. And the notion of kavana, and you have to have kavana to be yotzei, all of that is more consistent with an understanding that's built around your joining in with the mitzvah that's going on. So if you're speaking yourself, so then that's one thing, so your speaking does a certain amount for you. But if you need to create a connection to somebody else's speech, so then that's going to require a little bit more, and perhaps that's why we have these high standards of kavana and havana required in order to create that connection. Okay, so just to quickly review what we spoke about, and then we'll... There isn't more requirement here to say it. Basically, there's a requirement of both. It just happens to be that the saying part can be done by somebody else. Through shlichus. Not so random, I guess, that part. Well, you really have to do both. It's just that one has a method that you can have somebody else doing it and one doesn't. And it might just be a matter of physics. There's no heavy hints of listening to somebody else.
And then what?
Because then there's nothing that comes back to you.
Why is that there's nothing that comes back to you?
Okay, the most likely reason, as that's what the Kajal Glover is saying, is that really it's not pure shlichus. It's got some kind of a deviation. So therefore, that's the nature of the arrangement, that the two halves are defined by the Shmia and the speech, and since the speech can in theory be done by somebody else and you can still listen, so the halacha allows that as an avenue also, as long as you're still listening. That complex type of arrangement. Okay, so to quickly go over what we spoke about, so we mentioned there is a machlokes based Levi and the Chazon Ish as to how to alleged machlokes based Levi and the Chazon Ish as to how to understand Shmei HaKohanim. Is it only restricted to speech, or is it extend to all the other details that are there as well? And that many understand the base of Levi not to be saying that, but rather just be saying that it's only a question of when you have to communicate with somebody else, can Shemek Ono work for that or not? And if that's the case, that raises fakus in some other areas, such as Agla Arufa, Chalitza, Mikubikurim, etc. We mentioned, though, that whether or not the base of Levi and the Chazon Ish really argued on this point, the issue seems to be there. And we mentioned other applications that issued machlokas tataz and the shelos yavetz about a blind person getting an aliyah, machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about what to do if you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei and you want to answer kedusha. Rashi says you should stop and be yotzei for Shmei HaKohanim, and Tosfos says no, that'll be called a hefzik. And they mentioned the third sheet, the Shibo Hilbeket, that it's not possible to be yotzei that way because of kol roi lebila. And the Shagas Ari applied that to the question of an elaim being yotzei for Shmei HaKohanim, and he disagrees with the assumption that Kol Roi LeBila is relevant here, because Kol Roi LeBila is only applicable when there's a Lechai Chil and a B'diyavid, but here they're both equally good. But then we pointed out that Tosfos seems to take a different approach, says Lechai Chil, you shouldn't use Shemei HaKohanim. And then we talked about the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos. The Rambam says that if you make a bracha, if you listen to somebody else make a bracha and have kavana, you're yotzei, and if you say amen, then hareyu kumavarech. Seems to be expressing both possibilities. The first possibility, that Shemei HaKohanim alone only means that you're yotzei, but the bracha means it's like you're actually saying it. We mentioned some of the sfeikas that are discussed in Achronim, the Ragat Shavar's Chumra of Nishima Achas being done by the person themselves rather than by listening to the Baal Kore, the Meiri Safek about benching when you're no longer in the place where benching is being done, the question of the prima gradum, if your hands are dirty, etc., etc., some other issues like that, then we mentioned then that there seem to be about three approaches to figure out how this works, building off of these previous two bases. On the one hand, the possibility that some type of hearer could dibur kind of thing, that just as your thoughts can count as words, so too your listening can count as words. We pointed out that one of the difficulties of that opinion is that Shomei Kohuna is a universally accepted principle while hearer kedibur is not. And we discussed Shabakiva Eger's Kasha that, according to Ravina, who both holds hearer kedibur and still wants to know why, whether or not a woman can emotzi a man in benching, is she chayev in Torah only with Rabbanan? So Shabakiva Eger asked, why don't we say that hearer kedibur should make it work anyway? So some Achronim suggest that if you're trying to be Yotzei through Shomei Kohuna, so hearer kedibur is not going to work, certainly indicating that they are distinct and disparate mechanisms. Then we discussed the possibility that some type of shlichus, even though there are differences from shlichus, it's simply mitzvah shebegufo, and also for shlichus straight, you wouldn't have to be there at all. So what do you have to be there for? And we mentioned how the Kodesh Glover explains you have to be there for the chelek hashmiya, but the chelek hamira could be done by somebody else, and that he takes this shlichus comparison literally and uses it to explain a couple of dinim. First of all, why the person has to be mechuyev, like a shliach does. Why some Rishon hold you can't have Shemek owner for Chatzi Bracha, and why Tosha says the hitter not to do it because of Mitzvah Yosim B'Shlucho. They mentioned there's a third model also that's not really calling it Shlichus, and it's not really building off of Shlichus specifically, but really it's more a model of Hitzdarfus. Hitzdarfus may be Ke'en Shlichus, and that explains why there is such a need for Kavana and a need for understanding to create that special connection between the person making the bracha and the person listening, so that together they should be able to fulfill the mitzvah in a joint way, and that would make a third model for the mitzvah of, for the concept of Shemei Kohuna. Okay, so we'll...